We'll put those hands together and give the Lord some praise in this house. Oh, you could clap that good for me. I said, give the Lord some praise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, I don't know about you, but my soul cries out, hallelujah. I thank God, not for my car, not for my house, not for my clothes. I thank God for saving me. If you don't do anything else for me, if you save me, I'm just grateful to be saved. Can I get a witness in here today? I want you to take just a moment or two and make sure that no one enters into our church ever without feeling the love of Jesus. I have learned a long time ago that sometimes people who do the most shouting do the least loving. And so I really try to be judicious about making sure that my testimony is more than just a vertical praise to God, but a horizontal outreach to my brothers and sisters. I want you to take a few minutes. I'm going to put all of you on the greeting committee. Say this: I am officially a greeter at the Potter's house. So just start greeting everybody and share the love of the Lord. And while you're greeting, would you welcome our internet audience that's joining us from all around the world right here at the Potter's house? Glory to God. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I didn't mean y'all had to hug everybody. Y'all trying to hug everybody. Everybody. We've got some pastors. I've got a special mentoring session that I do. I completed Project Gideon, and now I'm getting ready to do Pisgah. And we've got some early pastors that have come in for that. I want them to stand, and I want you to just give a round of applause for some of the pastors that have already made their way in for our Pisgah session. Give God praise. Amen. 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 There's a few out there. Some on the stage, we greet you with Jesus' joy. If you're a first-time visitor here at the Potter's house, would you stand? We just want to welcome you. God, hey, God bless you. That's your cue. Give God some praise. You've made it. Welcome. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Glad to have you right here at the Potter's house. We pray you won't make it your last trip, but you'll come back again and again. Oh, we got a lot going on. I'm so excited about it. We're going to do something very special this Wednesday night, and I don't want you to miss it. Take a look at this.
There's a reason why you are in pain, and the pain is not over what you lost. It's about what you're about to gain. It's just your itinerary. It's not your destiny. If I lose it all and still got King Jesus, I got more than enough to start all over with, because the blesser is greater than the blessing. When it's your time and when it's your turn, ain't no devil in hell can keep you from your destiny. God is going to give you something that you can't even afford. It's going to be a generational harvest. It's going to be for everybody who is connected to you. The harvest is for your children, for your children, children. This is just the beginning. I have not seen it. It's just the beginning.
Well, give God a praise. Breakthrough Wednesday night with Dr. Jazz. How many folk could use a good breakthrough? Glory to God. All roads lead to 6777 West Keith Boulevard right here at the Potter's House on Wednesday night, where we're going to get a breakthrough in the presence of the Lord with the woman of God lifting up the name of the Lord. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. Wow, I'm excited. I want to pick up where I left off last Sunday. I was teaching on the principles of provocation. And I'm going to take it to the next level, and I'm going to go into it. We'll receive the offering later. But what I want to do right now is talk about the principles of promise. The principles of promise. How many of you have a promise? I grew up in the Baptist church. We used to sing, "Standing on the promises of Christ my King. Through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. I'm standing on the promises of God." Y'all don't know anything about no hymns anymore. But those promises are yea and amen, and they're powerful, and they're important, and they're necessary. And we shared last week about provocation, about how God will use certain people and things in your life to provoke you out of your comfort zone, to put you in a position where you have got to do something, that you get tired of seeing other people walking into their destiny and their purpose, and you're being left out. And some of the irritants and the irritators in your life are actually ministers who have come to minister to you to get you out of your comfort zone, to force you to believe God for more of his grace, of his power, of his spirit in your life. I know you don't see them as ministers, and you don't shout amen, and you might even be rolling your eyes at some of them, but God often provokes us with people that irritate us to move us into the place that we need to be in the kingdom of God. Don't shout me down just yet. I'm just getting warmed up. So get your Bibles and go to 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 14 through 24, and then we will share the word of the Lord with you. 1 Samuel chapter number 1, verse 14 through 24. If you see people standing, they're not leaving. They're just standing for the reading of the word of God. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 14. And when you read, I want you to read and think. Some people read and don't think. Some people think and don't read. But if you can, walk and chew gum. I want you to read and think, because this story kind of builds up from where we left off last Sunday. We're going to be talking about Hannah today. How she was provoked by Peninnah is what we talked about last week. But we're going to go deeper into this story. And Eli said unto her, "How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee." And Hannah answered and said, "Oh, no, my Lord. I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto." Then Eli answered and said, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him." And she said, "Let thine handmaiden find grace in thy sight." So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. Just look at somebody and say, "God heard you." And they, oh yeah, and they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Good God of mercy. Ooh, you don't shout about stuff like that until you've gone through a time in your life where you felt forgotten. And then all of a sudden it says, and the Lord remembered her. Look at your neighbor and say, God remembered you. Glory to God. Glory to God. Wherefore it came to pass when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived and she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up. For she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned. And then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord, and there abide forever. And Elkanah, her husband, said unto her, do what seemeth good to thee. He's a smart man. Yeah, disagree with her. Tarry until thou hast weaned him. Only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Now, I got two subjects. The principles of promise, and if I were to take a subtitle, it would simply be First Things First. And as I unravel this today, I think you're going to understand where I'm going. Let's pray together. Father, we come before you now in the name of Jesus, asking you for your presence and your grace over your word today. I know it's a lot of people here and online, and so this might be a crazy request. But I pray that not one person would leave this room without having their needs met. And I know there are different needs and different circumstances, and they're at different stages and different ages and different places in their lives. And I know some came here on the mountaintop and some came in the valley, but irrespective of the details, I pray that not one person would walk out of this door without having heard from you. Speak in this house, great God that you are. I thank you for what you're going to do. Have your way in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Let's go to work. By way of review, just to catch you up, we have in this house a very interesting situation. We have one husband named Elkanah, who obviously is a fairly wealthy gentleman. Not only do we say that because he is able to go up every year, but the fact that he is able to have two wives and the tradition of their culture is an indication of his wealth and his ability to provide for a multitude of children and to take care of both wives at the same time. And not only that, he's bragging about his ability to take care of his wives. He says that unto Hannah he gave a double portion. Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? This is a man who is well able to take care of his families and of his situations. From the outside, everything looks good. And that's often how it looks in a family, from the outside. You have to watch about judging people from the outside. I hear people look at other people and say, that's the kind of marriage I want. Are you sure? Oh, I just want to be a part of that family. Are you sure? The reason people are laughing is that everybody who's over 2 years old knows that things look better on the outside than they do on the inside. No matter how much you pray and how many times you go up to the temple and how much you offer up sacrifice, we still are human. These are worshiping people. These are praying people. These are serving people. But yet they still have issues. On one hand, you have one wife named Peninnah who is fruitful and birthing child after child after child. And another wife, she's a barren. And she has no children at all. And there's nothing wrong with that, but we have a tendency to make comparisons. God, why don't you bless me like you blessed her? Why don't you do in my life like you did so and so? And over a period of time, Hannah, though she is a good woman, becomes provoked and irritated because other people are being blessed. This is the inside thing. Irritation is not something you can see. Frustration, you can hide it. You can smile and be frustrated. You can worship and be frustrated. You can go to church and be frustrated. You can do nice things and say nice things and deep down on the inside be frustrated. But last week, I talked about how that frustration played right into the hands of God because God was provoking her to think this way so that she might realize that God had more for her than what her life had shown. I'm wondering this morning, have you ever thought for a moment that it could be possible that God has more for you than what you have experienced? More for you than what your situation validates. Perhaps your situation says you can't do blank. But beneath all of that, God is saying, with me, all things are possible. And sometimes he has to push you to get you to the place that you want more. The Bible says that the Lord had shut up Hannah's womb and she was barren. And she goes up to the house of the Lord and she begins the process of prayer. It is her prayer I want you to zoom in on first. Because you can't understand the power of the promise if you don't understand the predicament of the prayer. She didn't come in and pray like other people. She prayed like she'd been provoked. See, there is a level of prayer that you cannot teach people. Our illustrious pastor sitting on stage, and we've got elders all over there who are trained to teach you the principles of prayer. No matter how eloquent and articulate they are at declaring the word of God, there are some levels of prayer that can't be taught. Trouble has to teach you. I'm not going to recommend a book for you to read or a tape series for you to see or CDs for you to listen to. No, when you get in enough trouble, you don't need 5 steps to prayer, 3 ways to reach heaven, 2 ways to get in touch with God. When all hell is breaking loose in your soul, you will go before God without form, without fashion, without routine, without ritual. Does anybody know what I'm talking to? What I'm talking about? Hannah prayed so hard that she looked strange in a house of prayer. Now, it's one thing to look strange praying in the mall, but when you look strange praying in church, girlfriend has really gone out there. I don't know what she was doing, but maybe she shook her hair down and she was walking back and forth. Whatever she was doing, she had made a spectacle out of herself until the priest thought she was drunk. How bad do you want it? People say they want a job, but they sit at home like this. People say they want to change their lives, but they continue in their old habits. How bad do you want it? Do you want it bad enough to go out of your way and break the routine and get out of focus with other people? Do you want it bad enough to break how you describe yourself and how you carry yourself? There is a level of breakthrough that becomes so important to you. You don't care what you look like. You don't care what you got on. You don't care who's talking about you. You don't care what they think about you. You just want a touch from the Lord. Hannah cried out before God. And in fact, she poured out her soul before God. And I thought to myself, maybe part of Hannah's problem is that she couldn't give birth because she was filled with bitterness. There are some breakthroughs that you will not get in your life. As long as you are full of resentment and antagonism and anger and hostility, and this one did me wrong and that one did me wrong and this one hurt me and that one hurt me, and I left my old church, I was upset with everybody, I left my old job, my old husband, my old house, everything's old, and all of that stuff, you didn't leave any of it. It's still down inside of you. Every now and then we need to have an old-fashioned gully-washing, hand-clapping, foot-stomping, terry service and start dumping out. We used to call it purging. Y'all don't know nothing about purging. Purging! Oh, purging! Purging, where the old church mothers will get around you and get some of that stuff out of you. It was important enough that she was willing to dump out all of her bitterness before God. Eli, I am not drunk. She says, I am full of sorrow and bitterness. And when you came in and you saw me walking around and stumbling and staggering and laying out on the floor, I was acting like that because I got to get it out. I got to get it out. I don't know who I'm talking to, but if you don't get anything outside of this message, the Lord is saying before he can do what he wants to do in your life, you got to get rid of all of that stuff you're carrying down on the inside. Touch somebody and say, I got to get it out. It is poisoning me. It is blocking me. It is hindering me. It is belaboring me. It is stopping me from the breakthrough and stopping me from being the man I could be, the woman I ought to be. I gotta get this out of me. How can your womb be filled with promise when your heart is filled with bitterness? You're already full. Hannah has to dump all of this out before God. She had to get rid of it because she wanted something from the Lord. Is there anybody in here this morning that wants something from the Lord? I'll be honest with you. I came with an agenda this morning. I didn't come to church because it was Sunday. I didn't come to church because it was the thing to do. I love you, but I didn't come to church to see you. I didn't come to church to see what you have on. I didn't come to church to get in your business. I came to church because there's something I want from the Lord. And I can't get it from anybody else. I've already tried everybody else. I've already went everywhere else. If they could have done it, they would have done it long time ago. This is a job for God. So excuse me if I get out of order. And excuse me if I start breaking loose. And excuse me if I get loud sometime. If I cry sometime. If I holler sometime. If I walk the floor sometime. If I shout sometime. If I dance sometime. If I scream sometime. I know you don't like it, but this ain't about you. I came to get... She cries out to God. You must understand. I want to take you back and make you understand why this is important. It is important to Hannah that she bring forth a child because Hannah is feeling less than, not enough, not validated, not confirmed, not respected. It is important to her because, frankly, she's tired of Penina's nappy head kids running around. All of I ebonized it just a little bit, but it's okay. She's tired of it, and she wants to show God will bless me too. But there is a deeper side of it that you might not see if you don't study. There is the fact that in the Old Testament, when Moses delivers unto us the Pentateuch and begins to explain the conversation between God and Eve, there is an eternal promise given to women through Eve. That the seed of the woman would rise up and bruise the head of the serpent, and the serpent would bruise his heel. And every Hebrew woman hoped to be that woman that birthed the Messiah. For them, it was about power. It was about promise. It was about hope. The women were praying to deliver children, not just because they wanted a house full of kids, but they were trying to deliver who would deliver them. You're going to get that by the time you get home. The woman delivers the one that will turn around and Hannah said, it could be me if you open my womb. I want to be a part of the promise. I want to be a part. I might be the one. I might birth something. That I might deliver somebody. I might bring somebody in this world that turns around and delivers me. I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of that. I want to get. And she's kind of like Rachel. Rachel, who was also barren, said, give me a child lest I die. When you want something so bad that you say, give it to me or I'll die. Then you're ready to have a conversation with God. If you only want to preach a little bit, stop preaching. If you only want to sing a little bit, stop singing. If you only want to play a little bit, stop playing. God is looking for people who want it so bad. Give it to me lest I die. I don't want to be up here without your anointing. Give me your anointing lest I die. I don't just want to be making noise. Give it to me lest I die. Oh, I feel a breakthrough about to hit this house. I said, I feel a breakthrough about to hit this house. I said, I feel a breakthrough about to hit this house. And nothing else was going to be enough. Elkanah's double portion wasn't going to be enough. Him being better to her than 10 sons, he thought. Might have been a little ego there. He says, am I not better to thee than 10 sons? If you've got me, you've got everything you need. She said, actually, there is something that I want from God that you can't give me. That's smart right there. It takes you a long time to give up on trying to get from people what you can only get. Let me try y'all. It takes a long time for you to finally realize that you cannot get from people what only God can give you. In fact, you stop being angry with people about who didn't give you what you need when you understand that they didn't have it to give in the first place. If God doesn't do it, it can't be done. Tell somebody you like and say, this is a job for God. This is a job for God. This is a job for God. No need of you trying to get close to me. No need of me trying to get close to you. No need of us playing games, playing politics. No need of us having little rendezvous and late meetings. I've already been there. I've already done that. I already got a t-shirt. This is a job for God. If the Lord doesn't do it, if the Lord doesn't do it, if the Lord doesn't do it, my God, if he doesn't do it, if he doesn't do it, I'll lose my mind. If he doesn't do it, nothing else will satisfy me. If he doesn't do it, I won't be able to make it. If he doesn't do it, I will never be free. If he doesn't do it, I won't be a whole. If he doesn't do it, if he doesn't do it. No need of me trying to meet with you. I don't need an appointment. What I need, you don't have it. This is a job for God. So she goes in the temple and she cries out unto God. And this is what really got me. Eli thinks she's drunk. She was acting so crazy. She said, don't think I'm a daughter of Belial. I know I might be acting like a heathen, but I'm not. She says, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I got to get this out of me so I can receive what God has for me. I've got to get this out of me so I can receive what God has for me. I got to get this out of me so I can receive what God, I got to get this out of me so I can receive what God has for me. God can't give you what you're asking for if you're going to still be filled with anger and hostility and unforgiveness and pride and jealousy and envy and strife. We need a good purging in this house. We need a good cleaning out in this house. We need a good release in this house. Because God's got something for you. Give him 30 seconds of praise and praise. Yeah, praise it like you want something. Praise it like you're willing to give up something. Praise it like you need a release from the Lord. You see, this is why we don't get things from God. Because you can't feel what's already filled. You cannot feel what is already filled. There's got to be an emptying out. And the reason I wanted to call, I almost called the message First Things First, is because God says, I can't give you what you're asking for until you release all of that bitterness and all of that anger and all of that hostility and all of that pride and all of that unforgiveness. I got to get it out of you first. Things first. I feel like I'm talking to somebody. I don't even know who it is. But you've been wondering why it's been so long. And you've been praying so long. And you've been asking so long. And you've been waiting so long. And you've been saying, when are you going to do it? And God is saying the same thing to you that you're saying to him. He said, I've been waiting so long. I've been expecting so long. I've been looking at you so long. When are you going to do it? Because I can't do what you want until you do what I want. Dump that out of you. And Eli spoke to her, and he says, the priest spoke to her and says, be it unto you as you have said. It's going to happen. And what gets me about this girl who has been screaming and hollering and crying and yelling and shaking her hair down and making all kind of noise and acting like a heathen, when she got a word, she got up. Oh my, all I need is a word from God. 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 I don't need a pregnancy test. I don't need my cycles to stop. I don't need any outer sign of a breakthrough. All I need is a word. A promise is built on his word. A word is built on integrity. In spite of all of her issues, she knew that if God said it's going to happen, it's going to happen. It seals the deal. And she walks out, says, there, glory to God. What happened to faith? What happened to us getting word after word after word after word after word? And still walking out unchanged. How can we hear so much preaching and still walk out unchanged? She didn't even get it from God. She got it from God's servant, but it was still God's word, and it changed her countenance. She didn't even look like the same woman. I don't know who it's for, but you're not going to leave here like you came. You're not going to leave here like you came in here. And the Bible says, now, watch this. Elkanah, the Bible says Elkanah knew Hannah. When she got home, he said, I couldn't wait for you to get back home. This phrase says that God will move men to set up his promise in your life. He won't do it without them. He will do it through them. Watch this. Give and it shall be given unto you again. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Watch this. Shall men give unto thy bosom. God said, you gave it to me. I'm going to give it back to you. But I'm going to give it back to you through. He'll make people like you. I'm looking for somebody that believes the word of God. He will make people like you. He will make people choose you. He will make people want you. He will make people pick you. Somebody in here who's been walking in divine favor understands the words that are coming out of my mouth. Won't he do it? I said, won't he do it? You might not think that was God that made Elkanah know her, but yes, it was. He came home from church and Elkanah said, I kind of feel like going on, praise the Lord. I want you to understand that the heart of the king is in the hand of God. That your boss is in his hands. That your neighbors are in his hand. That the judge is in his hand. That the courtroom is in his hands. I want you to know that when God gets ready to bless you, he will give people a different attitude about you. Open doors you couldn't see. Make ways you couldn't imagine. I don't care how many other people put in an application. When God gets ready, he'll bring yours to the top. I had to praise him a minute, Emmett, because I seen him bless me through people I knew didn't like me. I've seen him make my enemies my footstool. I've seen him turn it around, and they had to bless me. Can I get a witness in here? And the Bible said, while Elkanah was knowing her, sit on down, I'm just talking to you. While Elkanah was in the process of knowing her, God remembered her. That's a tag team situation. Elkanah's doing the knowing, but God is doing the remembering. If Elkanah doesn't do his part, it won't happen. But let's face it, Elkanah had done his part before and it didn't work. But when God gets behind it, I don't know who this is for, but the Lord remembered you. It must not be for them. I'm gonna try y'all. I don't know who this is for, but the Lord remembered you. Maybe. I don't know who this is for, but the Lord remembered you. Amen. Let that woman praise him. Let her go ahead on and praise him. Because after you suffered a while, when you get the word that God has remembered you, it'll make you want to run sometime. It'll make you want to leap sometime. Can I get y'all to help me preach? Touch me, people say, he remembered you. He remembered you. He remembered you. All the nights you cried. All the times you did without. All the times you hugged the pillow and cried yourself to sleep. Sometimes you do things for people and people forget you. But God doesn't forget you. The Lord wanted you to be here this Sunday morning so you would understand that God, he has not forgotten you. He has not forgotten you. My God, he has not forgotten you. He has not. Forget. See, what's wrong with you? You don't believe it till you see it. But that lady beside you that's praising God on his word, she's going to get the promise. When you can praise God at his word, now, sit with me now, because this is where it gets interesting. That other part, that was nice, but this is where... Hey! This is where it gets interesting. She has now had her baby. She's got the promise. I thought the real test of faith is when you don't have it and you have to believe it anyway. But that's not the real test of faith. The real test of faith is when you finally got it and you got to give it up. After going through all the hell you went through to finally get the breakthrough, and you're holding the baby in your arms, and now she has to give it up. Now, this is fine for a Bible story, but this is not just a Bible story. This is a relationship between a mother and her child. Brothers, let me talk to y'all for a minute. There is something about the bond between a mother and her child. I'm not talking about a woman who had a baby. I'm talking about a mother, a real mother and her child. It's absolutely amazing. My wife had surgery on her back some time ago, and because she lost all feeling in her hand. And so there was a pinched nerve in her vertebrae. And the doctor said, we're going to have to go in your back to fix it. And they went in her back. It was up high. And they went in her back to fix the vertebrae in her spine. All of the kids were there. We were with her as right till she went up under anesthesia. And they were rolling her back to surgery. All the kids and me, we were all around the bed. When she came out of surgery several hours later, she woke up. And all of us were gathered around the bed. And as soon as she opened her eyes, she started crying. She looked at all around and she started crying. And she said, she started touching the kids in their face. She said, I can feel my children. She said, I can feel. I backed up all the way against the wall because I love my children. I really do. I'm not kidding. I really do. But if I had just come through a surgery and came out from under anesthesia, I just don't think that the first thing I would say is, I can feel my children. Suddenly I knew that that bond was something that a man would never fully get. But you gotta respect it. The way she was touching them kids in the face and crying and happy that she could feel them again, you would have had to carry the child to value feeling the child. There's a bond between what you carry and what you feel. What you carry and what you feel. What you carry and what you feel. That's why you have to be careful about letting people give you advice about anything you carry. Your vision, your child, your church. See, until you carried it, you don't understand how I... Whatever was going on around that bed, I literally backed up all the way against the wall. And it was like amazingly beautiful. It was sacred. It was like being in a sanctuary somewhere. It was holy watching her touch them children. It is that bond between Hannah and her child that when Elkanah gets ready to go to the temple the next time, he said, come on, let's go. She said, No. I've not yet weaned him. Now, they went every year, so we know she missed the first year. So she has had this child for 2 years. That's a long time to have a child. That's a lot of bonding between her and the child. But you see, the deal between her and God was this. She told God, if you give it to me, I'll give him back to you. See, we're always saying stuff to God, but we don't keep our end of the bargain. Lord, if you just give me this job. Lord, if I just get a second chance. Lord, if you get me out of this. Lord, if you bring me out of this, I'll serve you. And after God gets you out, you don't keep your end of the bargain. She said, when I've weaned him, I'll bring him. And so it's on, at least on the second year that she gets an ephod and gets a goat and starts moving to the temple with her child to give him back to God. Oh, stay, Samuel. You can't go back with me. I'm going to leave you someplace you've never been before. And I'm going home alone. Don't cry, baby. I'll see you from time to time. Mama, love you. You know mama love you. This is the hardest thing I ever had to do. But I made a vow to the Lord. And I can't take it back. And she goes back home to the house without Samuel. And there Peninnah is still running around the house with her children. And Hannah has finally got a child, but he's gone. And she's right back. In the same situation she was before. And I asked God, I said, God, I don't see the point. Why would you take her through all of that? And she finally has the child. But she don't have it. She is a mother, but she's not. She's right back in the situation she was in before. And he said, you don't see it. I said, what? He said, it wasn't ever about Samuel. It was never about Samuel. It was about opening up her womb. And her bringing Samuel to me was first things first. It was first fruits. And God said, if you seek ye first the kingdom of God in all of its righteousness, you will never outgive me. He said, you crying because she gave me one, but I gave her back five. I want to talk to somebody who had to give up something. Whatever you gave up, God said he's going to give it back to you again. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. The only reason you don't get it is that if you don't put first things first. God said, all you saw was one child. I wanted to open up her womb for five more were coming behind that first one. And you see Samuel as the child. But he wasn't the child. He was the test. Sometimes God blesses you to test you. To see if you'll take the blessing and walk away. Or whether you'll come back and bring it back to him. I remember there were 10 lepers that they asked the Lord to heal them. And Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. And the Bible said that they were healed as they went. Nine of them kept on walking, but one of them said, first things first, before I do anything else, I got to go back to the God that made it possible for me to have this opportunity. And he said, Lord, I know I ought to be in the priest right now, but I just had to come back and say thank you. And the Lord said, nine of them got healed, but you were made whole. There's something about coming back to God. Oh, I wish I had a witness I thought when my lights was off, I was being tested. When they laid me off my job, I thought I was being tested. When I had to go up my mama's house to get water, I thought I was being tested. When I only had one suit, and they called me One Suit Jakes, I thought I was being tested. When Sarita was washing my suits because we couldn't put them in the cleaners, I thought I was being tested. When I raised my first kids on WIC, I thought I was being tested. But the real test is never what you don't have. The real test is when God opens the door, when He opens the blessing, when He makes the way, when He brings you out. How do you remember God? See, the other part wasn't a test because I couldn't do nothing about it anyway. It was something I had to go through. But my faith isn't proven on what is forced on me. My faith is proven when I have a choice. See, it wasn't the real climax of the story was not that God remembered Hannah. It was that Hannah remembered God. It ain't no test that God remembered Hannah. God don't have amnesia. You shouted when I told you God remembered you like God has Alzheimer's. God don't have Alzheimer's. There is no question that God remembers you. The question is, Hannah said, I'm going to pass this test. I wouldn't have this to give if you didn't give it to me. I wouldn't have this choice to make if you hadn't blessed me. Now, Lord, the challenge is never about you remembering me. The Bible says that God has written your name in His hands. Meanwhile, y'all argue about whether Christians can have tattoos or not. God got one. He engraved my name. I'm not worried about Him forgetting me, because He has written my name in His hand. But the test of my life is that as He opens doors, makes ways, gives me opportunities, as I get busy and got stuff to do, as I have options and places I could go, The real test of the promise is, will I remember Him? Or will I sit there and act like I got blessed by myself? Will I sit there and now sit up and look important and can't worship and can't praise and can't lift Him up and can't serve Him? Now you got your little doctorate.
I don't know. I just don't believe that all of that is necessary. It's not necessary. It's not expedient. This is, you know, those people, they're so unseemly and a bit uncouth, actually.
But when you were struggling in them classes, and when you were praying, God, if I pass these finals, when you're down on your knees saying, Lord, I'm running out of money, but I need you to push this on through for me. Oh! So ask God. Ask God. Why do you want me to talk to your people about promise? He said, because my promise is over your life. I promise. I promise. I won't take you through anything that I won't get you out of. I promise. I promise that as thy days are, so shall thy strength be. When the days get tough, your strength will get strong. Hush-cha! When you're backed up against the wall, I'll open up a door. When they try to curse you, I promise I'm going to bless you. Hey! I promise your enemies will be my enemies. I promise the last shall be first. I promise the tail shall be the head. I promise I'm going to bring you through this season you're in right now. I promise I'm going to bring you through it. I know you're scared. You might be walking through the valley of the shadow, but don't fear no evil, because I'm with you. I got your back. I'm going to bring you through it. I'm going to bring you through it. Your friends can forsake you. Your family can forsake you. Your children can forsake you. Your parents can forsake you. But I promise you, lo, I am with you always, even unto the ends of the earth. I promise I'll guide you through the water. I'll take you through the fire. I'll bring you through the flood. I promise. There is no question about my integrity. The question is about yours. Hannah left Samuel in the house of the Lord. And when she went back home, it looked the same, but it wasn't the same. Because the Lord had opened up her womb. And God said, what was closed in your life? Tell your neighbor, God's about to open it up. 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 What was shut down, God's about to open it up. God's about to open it up in your life. God's about to open it up in your life. This is a sure word from the Lord. This is a sure word from the Lord. Them rusty hinges are starting to creak open. God is opening up doors. He said, doors are open. No man can shut. Whoever that's for, give him a praise right now. The Lord is saying, don't just shout over his promise to you while you ignore your promise to him. He wants to shout over your promise. Like you shout over his. When you tell him that he can trust you, he wants to break out in a dance and know that your word is good for it. The principles of promise are built on this concept. It is called covenant. Covenant is an Old Testament word for what we would call contract. A contract is expected responsibilities, a commitment, a bilateral commitment between two parties that says, if you will, I will. If you will, I will. If you do, I do. And God says, this is the principles, the promise. I will bless people I can trust. Don't be surprised when I take your blessing and give it to him. Because I can trust him. Cain, what are you jealous of? If thou doest not well, will I not receive you? I blessed him because I could trust him to give me what I said the way I said. This commitment was so strong in this woman. You know she wanted this baby. I proved to you she cried for this baby. She labored and suffered for this baby. She went a long time to get this baby. But she says, I'll let nothing separate me. So I'm bringing it back to you. Now she doesn't know that she's going to have another one. See, we know she had five more, but she didn't know it. She says, at least I had the experience. If I never have it again, at least I had the experience. Thank you for the 2 years I had with this baby. When you start being thankful for whatever it is you got, and while she's thanking him, while she's losing him, and as she thanks him in the middle of loss, God is going, her eyes have not seen, her ears have not heard, neither have entered into her heart the things that I have in store for her, because she loved me. Because she loved me, she gonna have baby after baby after baby after baby after baby. If you can trust him through a loss, on the other side, there is increase. I'll close with this one scripture. Jesus had taken all the disciples, had taken them from their jobs, from their family, from their life, to follow him. And they was following him all over the place. And they were threatening, rumors were going around that they were going to kill Jesus. Now, if I gave up my job to follow you and they're going to kill you, that presents a problem for me. And Jesus says to them, no man who loses houses or land, sister or brother, if he loses it in this life, I will give it back 100-fold in this life. That's not in heaven. He said, whatever you lost serving me, I will give it back to you 100-fold. Not when you die, in this life, for everything I took you through. Oh, for everything you offered to me, everything you gave me, God said, I'll give it back to you. 100-fold. In this life and in the world to come, he says, I'll give you eternal life. I'm so glad he said it, because if he hadn't said it, the theologians would have relegated my blessing to heaven. But he specifically says, I'm going to do it for you in this life. Whew. I'm wondering to myself if it's going to happen again. Last time I taught on 100-fold, I got on the elevator. This has been several years ago. And I got on the elevator to go upstairs. And the Lord said, I've given you 100-fold. And I said, not that I know. This is the truth. This is the truth. God knows this is the truth. I said, not that I know of. He said, you got 100-fold you haven't seen yet. And I said, Lord, where do I have 100-fold? And he said to me as I was getting off the elevator upstairs, he said, go have your house of praise. You remember I told you about it? He said, you remember what you paid for it? The appraisal came back. It was 100-fold, 100% more than what I paid for it. And I told Sarita, I said, girl, we got to move. I sold that baby. I got my 100-fold. When God gets ready to bless you. Oh! Whew. I feel a blessing in here this morning. You got me testifying. I don't normally do this. I went through all of last year. All of last year, we didn't make not one movie. All of last year. We came out with a television production this year. We couldn't get a deal done last year. Not one. We got Lifetime came through. And we did Faith Under Fire. Watch this. I ain't got to the good part yet. Even though Faith Under Fire was the top viewed movie for Lifetime through all of 2017 and 2018, it was the number one movie. That's testimony. But they did this movie called Black Panther. And let me show you something. I was happy about it. Even though it wasn't my movie, I didn't have nothing to do with it. I was just happy about it. I was amazed by it. It grossed $400 million at the box office. Went up $500 million at the box office. It was wonderful. Went out to see it. It was amazing. It was incredible. All of that. But because it was so blessed, while y'all was pressing your dashikis, Sony was on the phone saying, we want to do at least 3 movies with you this year. And the only reason I'm telling you is that I feel a blessing this year. After going through struggles and tests and trials and tribulation, God is about to open up something that's been tied up for somebody in this place. I don't know who's able to receive it. Oh, but the Lord is going to open up your womb. So I got contracts after contract after contract after contract, and my guy's calling me from California. Would you hurry up and sign the contract? The lawyers are waiting up. They're sending another one. You got to sign this one. God is about to pour out a blessing. You won't have room enough to receive. When you see God blessing somebody else, I dare you to be happy for them. When I told you what God did for me, you should have got your shout on right there. Because it's just a sign that the blessing is on its way. People just say, open, open, open. Your life, your business, your ministry, your career, your gifts, whatever's been tied up, God said, open, 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 open. I'll open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. You won't! You won't! You won't! For the next 3 minutes, I want everything that's got a mouth, everything that's got legs, everything that's got feet, everything that's got a tongue, give your God. Come on. Pour out. Pour out everything. Pour out doubt. Pour out fear. Pour out worry. Pour it all out and give God your highest. Knew why he was calling Hannah in the room. But what Hannah did in church, caused her husband to pull her in the room. The man who called me, I'm going to have to get some help. Lifetime wants to do several more movies before the year's out.
I got movies coming on television. I got movies coming on screen. I got movies coming this way. I got movies coming that way. I got all kinds of opportunities. I'm going to have to. Spoke to my heart while I was preaching. I'm going to sow a $10,000 seed this morning. I'm just seeding into what is being released in my life, because the release is up high where you can't reach it. But if God releases it up here, it's going to release down there. Whatsoever he looses shall be loosed. Whatever he binds shall be bound. I believe God. I'm not going to take up any more time. I'm happy. I'm excited. I'm stirred up. I'm motivated. What I love about God, I preach faith when it's working. I preach faith when it looked like it wasn't working. I preach faith when it looked like doors were shutting. I just kept on giving, kept on sowing, kept on believing that he that had began a good work in you shall perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. I didn't get jealous when the other person got blessed. I was happy and excited. Hallelujah, pressing out my dashiki, I was going to. Never knowing that his blessing was a sign. As a rule, I don't tell my business in public. But I use it as a point of faith. There's somebody in here. You need a breakthrough in an area of your life, of your family, of your business, of your marriage, of your company. Not that you're not blessed, but you're trying to get to another level. I feel anointed to pray over your seed while I pray over mine. Increases in this house today. I'm not worried about sowing seeds right now. I want you to lift your hands. I want you to just worship like Hannah. Just worship out of your mouth, like Hannah. Open your mouth to it. This is personal. This is between you and God. Can't nobody do this for you. Hannah had to do this herself. You have to go before the king and say, I need this to open. I need it to open. I can't open it myself. I can't do it. I can't do it without you. I can't do it without you.
Push me. I wanna be there. Push me, Lord. Push me,
Jesus.
Push me. I wanna be there.
Hallelujah.
Push me, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Push me, Lord. Push me.
Hallelujah.
I wanna be there.
I wanna be.
Push me, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Push me.
Push me.
I wanna be there.
Ooh.
Push me,
Lord.
Push me.
I wanna be there. Last Sunday we were talking about being provoked. He said, push me. The push me is nudge me. Nudge me. I don't know who this word is for. I hardly ever talk my business in a faith environment. But I felt led to share. God is opening things. If the Holy Spirit is pushing you, He pushed me even while I was preaching. I didn't plan to sow this $10,000 seed. He pushed me. I'm not trying to pay Him. This isn't even about thank you. This is about obedience. I don't know what else He's going to do. But I'm making room to receive. It may not even be in the business realm. It may be the help I need to harvest. But any way You bless me, I want to be better, Lord. If you're looking for breakthrough, I have an anointing. There's something you need to move in your business. I want you to consecrate your seed. If you can sow what I'm sowing, you might sow above what I'm sowing. You might sow $5,000. I don't know where you are. But if God spoke a figure for you to sow, I want to join my faith with yours for God to open some things. I'm not going to take long. But if He's pushing you, we're going to receive tithes and offerings just a minute. You can do that. We'll move on. But if He's pushing you out of your comfort zone, away from your normal, if you need Him to do something you can't do for yourself and move something you can't move for yourself, Hannah broke something in the church that affected something in the house. I kind of didn't even know God was using him. But God was making all things work together. If there's a promise over your life, you knew it when you walked in the door. I didn't have the money. I had to put it on my credit card, but I got it. I just got to obey. Those people that the Lord pushed you come stand with me right quick. I just want to pray over your push. Push me, Lord. Everybody else, prepare your tithes and offerings. This won't take but a minute. It won't take but a moment. But something is about to open. Hallelujah. Something is about to open. Open. Hallelujah. Glory. If you come to this church, you know I don't do this often. Hallelujah. If you're watching online and you're blessed to be watching online this particular Sunday, something is about to open in your life. If God got you out of the bed this morning and told you you got to be in church today, something's about to open. Sing it one more time, straight through. Hallelujah. Come right quick. Everybody else stand with your tithes and your offerings in your hands. Come up a little closer. It's a lot of people. It's more than I thought. Yeah.
I wanna be there.
I wanna be. You got to push me, Lord. If he don't do it, it can't be done.
I want to be there.
Hallelujah.
Push me, Lord. Push me, Lord.
We're kingdom kids. We're kingdom kids. We're kingdom kids. We're kingdom kids. We are not of this world. We may be in it, but we're not of it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. This is not an ordinary Sunday for us. There's a release of glory in this place. Lord, if you don't do it, it can't be done. Hallelujah. Now, I don't know your situation. I don't know your circumstance. I don't know your ministry. I don't know your business. I don't know your marriage. I don't know what it is that got you out of your seat and got you up here, but the Holy Spirit knows. Whether you're standing in the balcony waving your tithes and offerings, or whether God nudged you and pushed you and said, go beyond your normal, step over it. If you step over yours, I'll step over mine. I want you to get in mind exactly what you need God to do. Because the priest didn't tell Hannah what to pray. Hannah did her own praying. I'm just going to confirm with you that what we are believing God for will come to pass. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to give you a moment, Hannah, to lift your request before God. You might be watching online. I'm going to give you a moment. You got to do this praying yourself. I'm going to give you a moment to lift it up before God that when we sow these seeds, hallelujah, and we line our faith together with this word, we're not going to have no attitude, no jealousy, no envy, no strife, no confusion. No. Gratitude is all over the room right now. Woo! Hallelujah. I wish you could feel it. You're watching online. I wish you could feel the gratitude in this place. People worshiping, tears coming down their face. Hallelujah. God answered somebody's prayer already.
I want to be better, Lord. I
want to be better, Lord. I want to be
better.
Oh Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord.
I wanna be bad. I wanna be bad. I wanna be bad.
Lord, as the under shepherd in this house, we as a nation of kings and priests lift our petition before you. You told Hannah, I heard your petition. The petitions are going up, not only
in this room, but all around the country, all around the world, in front of laptops and iPads and computers and cell phones, at work, in business, at play. People are petitioning you, God. I thank you for the promise. Hallelujah! I haven't even seen it yet. I just thank you. I thank you for the promise. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you that you're going to move things around and organize things and give everybody the right attitude that they need to have to release everything that's been held up in our lives. I thank you for it. Shut up. Wave it before him right now. Wave it before him. All up in the balcony and everywhere, just wave it before him. All over the church, just wave it before him. You that are fronting in the aisles, lay it on the altar between you and God. Wanna be? Lay it on the altar before God. I declare a blessing. Some of you are giving on your phone. I understand that. Just wave your phone over it. Thank you, Jesus. Lay it on the altar. Anywhere on the altar. Anywhere. You told me to come. Obedience is better than sacrifice. You told me what to give. You told me what to say. You called me for such a time as this.
In the love of Lord, calling me to live a purpose.
BMTs serve the people of God.
Wanna be there.
We can do it all at one time. Come on.